Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. I'm joined here today with my colleagues, California Attorney General Rob Bonta, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul, Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell, New Jersey Attorney General Matt Plotkin, and Rhode Island Attorney General Peter Nerona. Yesterday, the President's Office of Management and Budget issued a memorandum ordering all federal agencies to withhold the majority of federal funding beginning at 5 p.m. today. There is no question this policy is reckless, dangerous, illegal, and unconstitutional. From the families who rely upon Head Start for childcare to the children across the country who depend on SNAP for their next meal, to the seniors who rely on state services to get the care that they need, this policy will disrupt the lives of millions of Americans in New York and nationwide. And while the administration may be attempting to clarify the scope and meaning of this memorandum, the reality is that some states are already reporting that funds have been frozen. Head Start was frozen in Michigan. Access to child development block grants were frozen in Maryland. At least 20 states have been frozen out of their Medicaid reimbursement systems, including New York. And in one state, it was reported that they were blocked out of their child support enforcement and they cannot draw down on these funds. Here in New York, we rely upon these critical services throughout our state. And these funds support health care in rural and underserved communities. They fund infrastructure repairs to fix New York's roads and bridges. They support initiatives to take drugs off of our streets, stop dangerous crime rings, and keep communities safe. In fact, last night in Arizona, 500 pounds of meth were seized thanks to federal programs that could be paused. Not only does this administration's new policy put people at risk, but it is plainly unconstitutional. The president does not get to decide which laws to enforce and for whom. When Congress dedicates funding for a program, the president cannot pull that funding on a whim. Later today, I am leading and joining with my colleagues, my fellow Democratic attorney generals, in suing this administration to stop this illegal freeze of essential funds for our state. We will not stand for any illegal policy that puts essential services for millions of Americans at risk. And we work tirelessly overnight to ensure that that does not happen. Our lawsuit will seek an order, a court order, to immediately stop the enforcement of the OMB policy and to preserve essential funding for Americans. And now, to share more about our efforts, I'd like to welcome my friend, California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
Thank you, AG James. I'm proud to co-lead this lawsuit with you and attorneys general across the nation. We will not stand by while the president attempts to disrupt vital programs that feed our kids, provide medical care to our families, and support housing in our communities. We won't stand by while the president breaks the law and oversteps his authority as outlined in our Constitution, a Constitution he swore an oath to uphold just 1 week ago. It shouldn't be too much to ask that the president follow the law and abide by the federal government's commitments. Yet, unfortunately, but unsurprisingly, here we are again. threatening to freeze up to $3 trillion in nationwide federal assistance at 2 p.m. Pacific time today, less than 24 hours after it was announced, is reckless. It is dangerous, unprecedented in scope, and devastating in its attendant effect. It's thrown state programs into chaos and created confusion among our residents, confusion that has only been further fueled by another memo that was just released today and that our team is actively reviewing. It's forced us to take immediate action to block it going into effect to defend our people and our programs. Let's be clear, this directive from OMB is unlawful. It violates the U.S. Constitution. It violates the Administrative Procedures Act, not to mention that it's arbitrary and capricious. The federal government should have to follow the rules, follow the process that's laid out by the law, same as any of us. They're not. OMB, the president, does not have the unilateral authority to indefinitely pause all federal financial assistance under any circumstance. That isn't OMB's job. That isn't the president's job. The U.S. Constitution gives the power of the purse exclusively to Congress. OMB is jumping so far out of their swim lane that, frankly, they are out of the pool. This directive completely violates the separation of powers between Congress and the executive branch. That's why we're here, seeking a temporary restraining order to block the unlawful directive from being implemented. We're in week two of the new administration, and here we are again, a second lawsuit against another blatantly unlawful action by our new president. Disappointing, but not at all surprising. Instead of learning from the defeats of this first administration and the early defeats in this administration, President Trump is once again plowing ahead with damaging, chaotic, and I repeat, unlawful agenda. I'm proud to join a coalition of attorneys general and taking him to court where we will find relief and stop his unlawful actions. Again, grateful to be part of this coalition of AGs across the nation. And now let me please turn it over to Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul.
Thank you, AG Bonta. I'm happy to co-lead this action on behalf of all Americans and certainly all citizens of the state of Illinois. This unconstitutional pause in funding will have a devastating impact on the public safety, prosperity, and quality of life of all.
Recording in progress.
Democrats and Republicans alike will be negatively impacted by this pause in funding. It impacts our ability to go after offenders who prey on our children, because this impacts our Internet Crimes Against Children task force. Our task force has enabled us to capture a record number of child predators. That is compromised. It impacts Burn JAG funding that allows our law enforcement partners to fight crime. It impacts those who rely on Medicaid for life-saving health care. It impacts our capacity to provide for veterans who served our country. Head Start and child care programs, the support for critical research at our universities, and support for farmers who grow our food, and of course, critical investment in infrastructure needed for our roads and bridges and keeping our working families working. On January 20th, our nation had a peaceful transfer of power, but let's be clear. January 20th was an inauguration, not a coronation. Congress is given the power to appropriate the funding. The executive branch cannot unilaterally disregard those appropriations passed by a separate and equal House of Government. We will collectively fight this unconstitutional mandate. Now I'd like to pass it on to the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Andrea Campbell.
Thank you, AG Raoul. Good afternoon, everyone. I am extremely proud to join my counterparts today, including Democratic AGs who are unable to be with us, but who also are part of these efforts and a part of this coalition, as we continue to hold President Trump accountable for yet another unlawful abuse of power. The president's directive to pause federal aid, simply put, violates the separation of powers. And I am proud to join this coalition in filing a lawsuit against this action for that very reason. Congress controls the purse strings, and the executive branch cannot decide to halt funding just because they don't like how Congress chooses to spend it. In Massachusetts, we receive more than $20 billion in federal funding each year. And just yesterday, the Commonwealth tried to draw almost $40 million from Medicaid and haven't received the payment yet. This is just one potential funding stream that could be impacted by this reckless order. The money goes towards projects that improve the health, welfare, and economic stability of our residents' lives on a daily basis, including healthcare, childcare, education and transportation, food assistance, and of course, improvements to improve the very roads we drive on, and so much more. Nearly every part of our lives is impacted by federal aid. Instead of following through on the promises the president promised to help people, including working people, poor people, he is instead stripping funding from the very families that rely on these precious resources and doing so illegally. AGs have been doing the work long before he was president to hold any administration and anyone accountable who harms our residents. This is simply a continuation of the work we've already done, and we will not allow this abuse of power to continue. That's why we're taking urgent action as a collective, because what we all deeply understand is the impact of this particular order does not affect one individual state. It has a national impact. And this coalition is always proud not only to protect its people, but to do so in collaboration and to always do it while upholding the law and the Constitution. Again, I'm very proud to work in partnership with this incredible coalition. And I now turn it over to my New Jersey counterpart, Attorney General Matt Plackin.
Thank you, General Campbell, and all my colleagues on this call, as well as those who could not be on here, for your incredible work and partnership. As we stand up collectively as a coalition of attorneys general who took an oath to uphold the Constitution of this nation, the same Constitution that the President of the United States last week took an oath to uphold, in standing up for the rule of law, this overnight illegal, unconstitutional attack on trillions of dollars of federal funding, funding that goes to support our kids in school, funding that ensures that our seniors receive health care, funding that ensures our law enforcement officers, who are working tirelessly around the clock to keep us safe, can keep doing their jobs. That's what we're talking about here. And when the president and his administration, with the stroke of a pen, issues an unconstitutional and unlawful directive that freezes that funding simply because he doesn't like something about our states, about a particular person in our state, about a policy that's duly enacted in our state that's totally unrelated to the funding at issue, he not only violates the laws and the constitutions of this nation, he violates the norms of who we are as a people. Because I've said many times, the president in this country is powerful. He is not a king. He does not get to wake up in the morning or after an afternoon nap and direct his entire government to stop funding critical services that Congress has duly authorized and appropriated, that millions and millions of Americans, Republicans, Democrats, independents, children, adults, seniors, depend on for life-saving care, because he doesn't like something that he woke up thinking about. That's not the rule of law. And when we say we're going to stand up for the rule of law, we mean it. And this is the second example, as others have noted. We stood up when the president unlawfully tried to rewrite the 14th Amendment on his first day in office, stripping birthright citizenship out of the Constitution, and we're doing it again today. And I think the lesson here for this administration is we are prepared. We are prepared to stand up for the rule of law. We are prepared to stand up for the residents of our state and of this nation when he unconstitutionally and unlawfully targets them in ways that hurts them in very real ways. I want to thank my colleagues for their tremendous work and partnership. And it's my honor to turn the podium over to my colleague in Rhode Island, Attorney General Peter Nerona.
Thank you, AG Plackin. What a ham-handed way to run a government. It is astonishing. that President Trump, through an agency most Americans have never heard of, would take an action so clearly unlawful and would impact so many Americans in so many ways. We, as Americans, from our very beginning, have had a compact with our federal government, and that is we pay taxes, and those taxes go to Washington. But we expect those monies to come back to us as allocated by our Congress. That is the way that we build our roads and bridges. That is the way that we educate our children. That is the way that we take care of our seniors. It is the way we support law enforcement. And that has been our tradition for nearly 300 years. Now thrown out by a president in a memo after 6 o'clock Eastern time, and written in such a way that it is barely understandable. It leaves us with no choice that when a president takes unconstitutional action of this nature, to act and to act quickly. Every American, every Rhode Islander is impacted by this. If you drive on a road, you're impacted. If you get health care, you're impacted. If your children are being educated in our schools, you're impacted. If you believe in public safety, if you're a man or a woman in blue, and all of us who are protected by them, you are impacted by this blatantly unlawful and unconstitutional action. Congress has committed this money to the states. Our states are relying on this money to serve our residents. And so this action was necessary and it needed to happen quickly. And I'm so grateful for the great work of the men and women in our offices across the country that worked so hard to get this done so quickly. And so with that, I will turn it over to my friend and colleague, Attorney General James.
Thank you so much. My office and the attorney generals who are gathered here and those who are not, we are preparing to defend our Constitution. This president has exceeded his authority. He has violated the Constitution and he has trampled on the co-equal branch of government. It's really critically important that we stand up and defend the rights and liberties of all Americans. And at this point in time, we will take some questions.
Thank you, Attorney General. Our first question will come from Kevin Rector. And just a reminder, please pose the question to a specific Attorney General. Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, my question is for California Attorney General Bonta. I'm wondering if you can speak to two things, one being whether you believe disaster relief, including for the California fires, will be impacted here. And secondly, whether you can speak to whether you believe the confusion around the order is part of the process, part of the intent of this administration.
I'll answer your first question first. I do believe that the FEMA funding is at risk, and we need it. We need it now. We needed it yesterday and without conditions. And it's unfortunate that it's being put at risk, not just from potential conditions being imposed by the president, but also by this memo. So yes, we believe the FEMA funding is put at risk too. I think that the ambiguity, the lack of precision is by design, and they could have been very precise about what was included and what was not, what programs, what services. They could have enumerated them and set them forth in specific detail, but they decided to be vague and to use buzzwords like wokeism and Green New Deal social engineering. And that confusion, that chilling effect has swept in potentially nearly all of the services and programs that the federal government funds outside of what was specifically exempted, which was Social Security and Medicare. So I do think the ambiguity and the confusion is deliberate and intentional, unfortunately.
Our next question comes from Katie Sobko.
Hi, Mr. Attorney General Plotkin. Regarding this lawsuit and the one from last week, is there any concern about setting a precedent that will enable the Trump administration to expand powers of the executive branch, given the current makeup of the Supreme Court?
Look, we're prepared to stand up for the rule of law, and I'm confident that the federal courts will agree with us. When you have such blatant violations of the rule of law, in the case we filed last week, federal judge said it was the most ridiculous argument put forth by the government in 40 years of federal service. We're not talking about nibbling at the edges of the president's authority. We're talking about ignoring the entirety of the United States Constitution throwing duly enacted statutes out the window simply because the president of this country doesn't like it. That's not permissible under our legal system. Presidents have powers, but they are not unlimited. And states, as you're seeing here, have the power when the president violates that law and hurts our residents. We have the power to stand up and protect them and speak on their behalf. And that is what we're doing. And I'm confident that we will be successful in that effort.
Our final question comes from Michael Sisak.
This is for Attorney General James, but for also for all of the AGs, if they want to weigh in. Kind of piggybacking on that last question, you know, everyone's resources are limited. How do you go about strategizing which of the flurry of activity is something you're going to go after, right? You know, we had birthright citizenship. We have OMB this week. Who knows what's next? And then if I could get your response to the criticism that Trump over the years has had that these are Democratic attorney generals, these are adversaries, these are people that don't like him that are taking these actions. I just wanted to get your take on both those things.
First, this is not a question of being adversarial. This is a question of the Constitution and the rule of law. And all of us took an oath to obey the Constitution and uphold it. Clearly, his actions are arbitrary and capricious. His actions violate the Constitution, the separation of powers. He fails to respect a co-equal branch of government. He exceeded his authority. It's important that individuals understand that what we are doing is protecting democracy and the rule of law. My office and the offices that are here, that are represented here today, have some of the best legal minds in this nation. And we, again, have all indicated that we are prepared to work with this administration. But when it comes to a clear violation of the law, we will not be silent. We will not sit idly by and allow individuals to trespass on the rights of Americans. We prepared for this moment. And just as we did during the first administration, we won 80% of our cases. And we are prepared to do it again.